Ben Moore has been in love with bees for as long as anyone can remember. And as far as we can tell, the feeling is entirely mutual. Although he still sometimes feels the sting of his passion. Hang around, learn a little. It's as sweet as honey and always a buzz. It's the Ultimate Pollinators Podcast with Ben, his friends and associates, and of course, Ben's bees.
Hey everyone, Bees with Ben. Boy, am I pumped for this episode. Absolutely amazing. I've been wanting to do an episode on this subject from day dot, and I got the person for you. And before we talk to this amazing individual and what she's doing, first of all, have a think about this. You know, beekeepers are the longest lived of any profession. Why is that? It's certainly it's a stressful job. We do lots of hours. We'll be up in the early hours of the morning at 3 a.m. starts. But I've got I don't know, it's a theory. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a doctor. But I reckon it's got something to do with the bee stings. And we're going to be talking. We've got on the line the amazing Dr. Bridget Goodwin. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Ben, for the very thrilling introduction.
Yeah, I'm absolutely pumped because I've been wanting to do an episode on apitherapy. And, you know, let's be honest, you are the guru, the Australian guru when it comes to apitherapy. So thank you so much for your time.
Oh, I think guru is too strong a word, but I have been passionately promoting apitherapy, and I'm one of the founding members of the Australian Apitherapy Association, which we set up a few years ago, and it's starting to really raise the profile of apitherapy in Australia, which is great, but it's a lot of work and a lot of, a lot of volunteering.
Yes. So well, I've got lots and lots of questions, but how did you sort of get into apitherapy, please, Bridget?
Well, I'm sure you've heard this expression before, Ben. They say the bees find you. I don't know how the bees found you. I'm sure you've told your listeners yes. about that. But the bees found me, and it's a little bit of a shocking story, when I accidentally reversed somebody's skin cancer. And the reason is I'm a laser therapist, do a lot of skin work, and I was cornered by somebody when I was doing some training in Queensland asking me would I work on her basal cell carcinoma with my high-tech treatments I was training with, and I just refused. I said, no, we can't do that. You'll have to go to the doctor and have it cut out. And she just, I didn't realise that the famous model Deborah Hutton had recently gone public on all the work she'd had to remove skin cancer from her face. And she said, I don't want to be like Deborah Hutton. I don't want to be like Deborah Hutton. And I said, well, go to the doctor and ask permission and we'll give it a try. Okay. But in the background, I'd been doing some research on Korean skincare, and the Koreans are right into bee products. And I'm thinking, why are the Koreans so into honey and bee venom and propolis? And I had made up some stuff, and I used that as aftercare. So I used like a cold plasma laser treatment on her skin. This is after we got the doctor's permission, and gave her bee products as aftercare treatment. And what happened was the scabs fell off on her bed sheets a few days later, and her skin cleared beautifully with no scarring, and she was so wrapped. And I was like, what have I just done?
I love it. Absolutely love it.
So this was before the dreaded COVID lockdown, and then we were all, of course, not allowed to work. So this, for me, created the perfect opportunity to go away and Google, I need to know what I've just done. And I found the world expert in apitherapy, Dr. Stefan Stangaciu of Romania.
Okay.
And he runs apitherapy.com, and I signed up for his diploma long distance, and I had to write a thesis and do a whole lot of work with him over many months. And I said to him, Dr. Stefan, could I write my thesis on treating basal cell carcinoma with bee products? Because, you know, Australians have such a high incidence of skin cancer. Mm, this is extraordinary. People don't know this is possible. And he said, yes, and you will write a book and you will host a conference and you will. And I said, well, we should set up an Australian association to try and raise awareness of this. And he said, yes, and you will have a conference and you will link to the International Federation and we will all support you. And exactly that has happened. It's just been, I've been swept up in the bee community internationally. And the Australian Apitherapy Association is linked to the International Federation of Apitherapy. Because what I wasn't aware when the bees found me was apitherapy is actually part of the medical system of many countries, including China, Japan, Korea, Russia, Romania, Slovenia. It's being recognised in Canada. Many people in America are practitioners. And Australia is kind of a little bit late to the party on this.
Why is that, Bridget? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think we tend to be. Maybe it's geography. Maybe, I don't know, where things are slow to catch on here. But I actually have asked that question to many people. And one of the interesting answers I got when I hosted the first apitherapy conference we had in November 2021, I asked one of the Turkish apitherapists, why is it the Turkey's so into apitherapy? How did that happen? And he gave me the most amazing answer. And he said, and he gave a presentation to our conference about this, that because of the rise of antibiotic resistance, the World Health Organization has encouraged member nations to explore natural medicine and to...
We've just lost you there. It's hopefully, Bridget will come back. Just so the listeners know, Bridget's in the middle of New South Wales.
Called bench to bedside.
So we lost you there for a sec. And I was just mentioning to the listeners, that the is it Skylink? Starlink? Starlink.
Starlink. I dropped out for a sec.
No, don't be sorry at all. It's just mentioning that you're in the middle of nowhere and using Elon Musk's
On a dish. On a satellite.
Yes. So just repeat that last little bit, please, Bridget.
The World Health Organization told member nations, I think in about 2017, to really get to work and explore indigenous medicine, natural medicine, to look for alternatives to antibiotics because they're failing.
Yeah, okay.
And as it happens, and this has come out in our last two conferences for the Australian Apitherapy Association, a lot of Australians are working on this. Well, they don't call it apitherapy because that's not a well-known term here, but it is. And we had some scientists from, I think, UTS and also University of Sunshine Coast talking about the work they're doing on wound healing, what they call bench to bedside. So scientists working with different types of honey to treat wounds in hospitals where people have developed wounds that can't be cured by antibiotics anymore because of superbugs.
Okay.
So I think also the other reason that many other countries use apitherapy is it's 5,000 years old in Chinese medicine, so no surprises there.
Yep,
we think the original acupuncture.
Yes.
And it's never stopped being used there. So I think we've all been encouraged to have a lifelong terror of bees, those people who aren't beekeepers. And I think we just have, I feel bees are in plain sight and a little bit ignored because they're just so old and we just have taken them for granted. So when you mention bee products, people think they're a bit innocuous. But in fact, they're highly active medicinally. And as Dr. Stefan says, think of the bees as clever little pharmacists because everything they make is medicinal,
which
is really lovely.
It's amazing, isn't it? And so just for the listeners, so apitherapy, because when I hear the word apitherapy, I'm sort of naturally thinking it's more using bee stings, you know, bee venom. But apitherapy can be meaning obviously using Manuka honey on like diabetic ulcer. It can be mean any sort of product, really.
So all of the bee products are medicinal. So the royal jelly is famous for longevity and full of really good hormones. Propolis is a very powerful medicine, and there's a whole group in Europe called the Propolis Research Group where all they do is study propolis for cancer, for COVID, for many wounds, for dentistry, for veterinary science. We've had vets from Brazil and different countries give presentations on the work they do with propolis for wound healing and dentistry. The honeys, all the different types of honeys. And in Europe, they refer to what they call phytotherapy, P-H-Y, phytotherapy, meaning the bees collect plant material, which is where they form their products from, as along with what they bring to the cocktail. And they see the bees as being connected to plant medicine, herbal medicine, aromatherapy. And when you get into apiatherapy, there's discussion about combining or getting bees to collect pollen from medicinal plants. And as you know, the bees know where the medicine is, so they go to plants that are medicinal by definition. We're a bit slow as a species to work that out, but the bees actually show us where the medicine is, and they manufacture bee products in a way that makes it completely bioavailable to us, sweet to us,
yes.
And very, very natural and not toxic. So bee venom, yes, is referred to as bee stinging is referred to as hard apiatherapy, but soft apiatherapy is using honeys, medicinally pollen, propolis, royal jelly, and there's another type that I'd never heard of before I studied apiatherapy called apilanil, which is male drone larva.
Yes.
So there's a kind of many, many products, and when you get into it, especially in Eastern Europe, there are specialists working on medicinal beekeeping to produce products that are very popular and well used in those countries.
Absolutely fascinating. So on the subject, sort of talking, that's very interesting, that definition between sort of soft apiatherapy and hard apiatherapy. So so the talking about bee venom, right? That's one that I think a lot of people have sort of, you know, questions about, you know.
Yeah.
So bee venom, so how does one, you know, I've got a million questions there, Dr. Bridget, you know what I mean? So, you know, how does one, you know, what would one treat for? Because I've been in New Zealand and I saw bee venom in honey. You know what I mean? I thought it was very unusual, but you see often bee venom in, you know, that natural Botox, like a lip plumper or cosmetics is sort of one. But so talk us through, you know, applications for bee venom.
So you can actually farm bee venom without hurting the bees. There's a type of device that you can put alongside the hive where I think you can connect it to a 12-volt battery, like a picture frame. And I believe the bees think the queen's under attack when they feel the vibration of the electric pulse, so they reach down and sting onto the glass, and that has the effect of leaving a residue, which is then scraped off as a white powder. And people that are really onto this are harvesting bee venom, farming bee venom, a bit like you would harvest snake venom or other types of venom for medicine, and sending it around with lab certificates as medical grade. So that's one way to collect venom. The other way is the direct stinging method, which is what they call traditional folk medicine bee venom therapy, which they believe, and I think this is right, was the original acupuncture.
Yes, okay.
And someone recently joined our association who was in China with a sore neck, and he went to have acupuncture, and he was totally shocked when they brought out a box of bees. But he said, oh my goodness, the pain went away from his neck very quickly, and he was so impressed he came back and joined the association. So that's they're amazing. Still using bees in acupuncture in China, of course, after 5,000 years.
Absolutely amazing. I've had some people ask me for bees, and I say no worries. I just mentioned to them, I'm not a doctor, but is for various sort of I think it's autoimmune disorders like fibromyalgia has been one.
Fibromyalgia,
yeah, that's the one. And it's like, and they've just gone, well, they've been, you know, chronic fatigue and really just zonked, and to having a bee sting, and I'll never forget, this was years ago. And he got stung on the nose, this chap, and he said he just had literally woken his soul up, his body up, and he could, yeah, absolutely, truly amazing. What sort of experiences have you seen using bee stings in treatments?
Well, bee stings, they...
Oh, we've just lost you there again. It's interesting. Okay.
Did I drop out again?
Yeah,
I
dropped out again. Sorry. Yes, yeah, sorry, say that again.
Okay, so there's a lot of science on this, and it's been aggressively studied. In 2020, Australian scientists made world news when they published in the prestigious scientific journal Nature that bee venom dissolved breast cancer tumours in rats. And that made world news. But, I mean, yes. I think it's known in other countries, and there has been a lot of follow-up publications about that or specifically about breast cancer. So the way the scientific literature explains it, the bee venom, the melanin, actively encourages the cancer cells to commit apoptosis, that's programmed cell death. So it kind of tells the cancer cells, you die now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And but it's not toxic. You know, it helps the cancer cells convert to a normal cell. The other thing it does, say in arthritis, people that are bone on bone in their pain get benefit from the bee venom actually repairing connective tissue, which we don't really have medicines that repair, you know, cartilage and things like that. And people would probably tend to go and get knee replacements rather than.
Yes.
I've heard of people just getting a knee replacement rather than they're more frightened of the bee stings, which seems a shame because there is so much research and experience where people have actually repaired their knees or their arthritic joints with using bee venom therapy. And the other thing it does, it's known to promote the repair of fine vascular tissue, so, you know, small veins. So people, for example, with Lyme disease that start losing feeling in their skin, you know, as the disease has affected their capillaries, their fine vascular, the bee venom repairs that. So there are quite a few illnesses such as Lyme disease and arthritis that are famously bee venom works absolutely brilliantly for. So there are many groups dedicated to working with live bee stinging for those illnesses. And they we had a guy at our conference from America who was joined us live, and he's healed his own Lyme disease with live bee stings, and now he travels around the States with bees on a truck helping other Lyme patients to recover. So that's quite extraordinary because a lot of these people are told it's in their head, you know, and
yes,
there's no other medicine that really helps as well. But it's also good used in combination with herbal medicine. That is the beautiful synchronicity, so that that there's just a lot that can be done just with natural medicine that's not toxic, doesn't kill any cells, and encourages. But the other thing that bee venom does is it actually is an immune booster, so it encourages the immune system to be stronger, and so does propolis, and so do the other bee products. So it's kind of like a different, more positive approach. And a gentle, non-toxic approach to what we have come to understand from how Western medicine works.
Interesting. Okay, that's absolutely fascinating. Now, I'm going to put in the show notes the website, apotherapyaustralia.net. So I'll put that in the show notes so people can come and check that out. Is there any other websites that people should check out that I can put in there as well, Bridget?
Dr. Stefan Stangachu's website, which is apotherapy.com. And I invited him to come to Australia to do some training, and he amazingly agreed. And he will be with us on July 1st and 2nd at Harndorf at a conference centre we've booked especially for the purpose for 2 days training in apotherapy, which is quite a rare opportunity because Dr. Stefan is well recognized as, I think, the world expert. He speaks, I don't know how many languages, and he hosts conferences and does training all over the world. And I'm sure he's very happy to talk to you for your podcast, Ben,
talk
about apotherapy.
That'd be absolutely amazing. So there's the conference that's on next week. So this podcast may just be just a couple of days before it actually.
Oh no, the training will be July the 1st and 2nd.
Oh, the training is okay, July 1st and 2nd. Okay.
And we hold we'll be coming up to the third conference in November.
Okay, so you got a conference.
So the first conference, you know, this is me trying to drum up interest in apotherapy, and because of the amazing renter crowd that is the apotherapy community around the world, we ended up with 200 people, I think, from 20 countries attend our first one.
Oh, fantastic.
And about the same second time round, and I'm hoping for just as good a roll up in November. But as we're growing, I'm trying to encourage more Australians to be involved and to join the association. And quite a few people now are benefiting from apitherapy for various illnesses, and including arthritis, cancer, breast cancer, lung cancer, Lyme disease. And those people that are engaged in this, I'm encouraging them to do their video diaries and do a presentation for our conference on their progress. And often the progress is astonishing. Amazing. So that's exciting. And you know, it'd be really good to put a call out to beekeepers interested in this. As you noted, actually, Dr. Stefan was one of the people who published the science on how beekeepers have this extraordinary longevity because of their association with bees.
Yes.
Maybe the stings, maybe just the meditational activity of working with bees. There's a whole sub-movement in apitherapy called beehive air therapy.
Yes.
Where, especially after COVID, they've been having a lot of training and promoting devices where you can actually sit in a little hut away from the bees and breathe the air from a hive down a special device, which is now there's a lot of science being published about the benefits of just the air from the beehive, which, of course, is full of beautiful essential oils and flavonoids and things that are coming directly from the bee products in the hive itself. I'm sure you know, Ben, when you lift the lid off a hive, you get that beautiful smell.
Oh, absolutely love it.
So to be able to sit in the hut and breathe that through a special respirator is something that they've now been showing has been really helpful for long COVID and for asthma and people with chronic pulmonary disease and also immune boosting. So a special apitherapy centre just opened in Canada, I think late last year, where they have apitherapy station set up, and I think if you go to Europe and Google AP tourism, you can actually go and stay on farms where they have little special little beehive huts set up where you can, you know, the bees hum at a certain frequency that's supposed to be tremendously healing for us, and you can go and sleep in little huts that set above the beehives, and you get that beautiful vibration from the bees. And hopefully also the lovely fragrance from the beehives without
the
beeper. And he actually lives with bees in his house.
Wow, absolutely.
And he describes the tremendous health benefits. I think they're a more gentle type of bee than we probably familiar with, but his health benefits that he's described are just amazing. And I asked him to do a presentation for our conference, and he said, I don't have a computer. Can I do it on my phone? So last 2 years, he's made just stunning presentations of videos and things on his phone for our conference. And I think we had a last 2 years, we're starting to get regular appearances now from, I think, a 14-year-old girl in India who's a fifth-generation beekeeper who, you know, called Michelle Jose. She's just extraordinary and the star of the show. So all of these amazing people, including scientists, academics, doctors, there's quite a few doctors in Eastern Europe who specialise and do some pretty hard science on apitherapy, on different elements of bee products. And as I said, vets, dentists, and it's quite diverse.
Wow, that's amazing, Dr. Bridget. So, and what has there been one scenario that you've seen and even you've just gone, wow, that has really helped? Obviously, there'd be lots of them, but there's been lots of them. But is there been one standout one you've just gone, wow, that is just truly amazing that the bees have done?
Well, I think my first experience when I described it to you, I accidentally reversed somebody's skin cancer. That was a shock.
Okay.
Because in my family, there's so much skin cancer, and I've now helped my 86-year-old mother. Her skin cancer was eating her alive, and I've made her creams, and she's also been up for a bit of stinging on her arthritic fingers. You know, first of all, she was horrified, but when I've personally experienced, you know, with osteoarthritis, she gets funny little bony things that pop up, and your first response is, oh, I should go to the doctor and have that cut out. But for me, I just treated myself, and the strange little growths just disappear. And you think that's not possible, but I took photos. So
yeah,
like,
yeah, wow.
You tell people, you know, if you've got sore knees, you start going in the knees. And I've treated my knees myself, and they're just great, you know. And I've had people who've approached me for treatment with a doctor's referral, I had a 74-year-old lady in Canberra who got her GP to write a referral for this, and she was bone on bone. And we only did a very small amount of treatment. And next thing I heard, she was back playing tennis and then just went on a big bike ride around New Zealand. And I said to her, "Did you thank the bees when you were riding that bike?" And she said, "I thanked the bees more than you can imagine, because she was pain-free."
That's amazing.
So,
and so what about the application? Let's say on your knees. Let's say you've got sort of arthritis within the knees. Is it like, I suppose, is it like one sting per knee, or is it like five?
I think it can vary, but what we have to be careful of is we have to note that 1 or 5% of people can actually be allergic to bee stings. And when you study apitherapy, this is stressed that people must always be involved with a GP and make sure they're not allergic and have the guidance of a trained apitherapist. So, but having said that preface quite strongly, it's a surprisingly little amount of treatment required, because the medicine is quite powerful.
Yes.
And, people experience swelling, of course, especially on the extremities, but it's a strange thing when you start experiencing this, because people's first response from our conditioning is that's poison. But actually, when you understand more about it, it actually is not poison. It's actually powerful natural medicine.
Yes, medicine.
So
yes.
Yep. A lot of the swelling is to do with triggering your body's own immune system to go to town to start repairing the damage. And it kind of encourages your body's own system to repair it. So it's like, I know in skin rejuvenation we talk about a wound cascade where we use laser to give the skin a shock, and then what happens is your own collagen and elastin starts, repairing. It's kind of like that with apitherapy, where, say, the hard apitherapy bee stinging will give you a bit of a shock, and then things suddenly stop hurting. I got a text from a beekeeper in Canberra who helped. And I didn't know he was going to do this, but he decided to sting himself.
Okay.
Because he was getting a sore knee. And I just got a random text out of the blue one day that said, "So, my knee's hurting." And I was like, "Oh, I know what he's done." But he kind of, went, "Oh, I just have to give it a try." And, I've been told many extraordinary stories. There's a really good story that I heard recently. It's quite an astonishing story from a man who's actually a marine engineer. He's a beekeeper up in Queensland, and he accidentally dropped a hive when he was moving some, and he got stung around the hips. And he told me that he was preparing for prostate cancer surgery.
Oh, wow.
And he was having his PSA readings done and was being given strong warnings by the doctor and getting ready for treatment. Then he had this incident where he dropped the beehive and he got stung pretty aggressively. And I said, "How did you go? What happened?" And he said, "Well, I just felt euphoric. I thought it was going to be dangerous, but I actually felt," he said, "his partner drove him home and then he was all right." But then he went to the doctor to prepare to continue with the PSA checks for the prostate cancer, and his PSA had changed.
Wow.
And his doctor said, "What have you been doing?" And he said, "Well, the only thing I could think was this beehive stinging incident." And the doctor said, "Go away and check in with me every year, because it's gone."
No way. That's amazing.
And he contacted me and he said, "Is this a thing? Is this a thing?" And I said, "Well, actually, they say the bees find you," as we were saying. And I said, "Well, it's interesting, because the father of apitherapy, one of the fathers of apitherapy in Eastern Europe, that's Philippe Turc, T-E-R-C, had an identical experience to you, where he had arthritis in his hips." And to be honest with you, I don't know why these men are walking around with with shorts or little shorts or no pants or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
But he was stung on the hips also, and his arthritis went away. And he couldn't believe it. So he started treating people for arthritis with bee stinging. And he is this famous story of Philippe Turc and the accidental bee stings that started this. It's very similar to this experience of this man in Queensland. But I've now, since I've been running the association, I've heard so many stories like that of accidental bee stings or things happening, and people contact me and say, is this a thing? I want to know more, which is kind of how I came to it as well. I just didn't, when I've now done this many times, if people have basal cell carcinoma, I tell them I can help you with that. And first of all, they don't believe me because we're all told, oh no, that isn't possible. But thanks to science and apitherapy, there are natural methods to treat things like this.
For sure.
And it's quite successful and not toxic. So, you know, it's quite amazing.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Dr. Bridget. You know, I mean, we look at Mother Nature, you know, she holds the answers to many things. And that could be, you know, it could be a coral in the sea, or it could be, as you're saying, with bees and apitherapy. There's just, you know, Mother Nature is just truly, truly amazing. Once again, I'm going to put in the show notes the website, apitherapyaustralia.net, which I will pop that in. Now, you mentioned just before, Dr. Bridget, about a conference in November. So tell us about that, because people would be interested. You know, a lot of the listeners.
We would love people to attend. So when we first set up the association, we had a conference to kind of announce the association. And that was, I think, late November 2021. Then we did it again late November 2022. The theme was natural medicine for anti-aging for that one. And we're coming up to November 2023 where we'll do it again. So what happens is I put a call out for papers, presentations, stories, videos, also for sponsors. The association is basically operated on a shoestring from volunteers like myself, and we don't have any money. So the last two years we've used a platforms overseas to try and host a conference. But now that a few more members are joining the association, thankfully we've got some IT gurus who've come on board, and they're going to help us host it this time. It's just going to be by Zoom. We don't have resources to go and hire a big hall and bring in international visitors.
Yep.
And thanks to COVID, I suppose, everybody's become quite familiar with the Zoom teleconference. And the other crazy thing about this is many of our participants are around the world in very unfriendly time zones. And Australia, as it turns out, has the most unfriendly time zone. So we happen to be buzzing around, if you like, when everyone else is asleep. So getting them to come in live at 2 and 3 in the morning is a big ask, but it's amazing how many do.
Yes.
And so I get them, a lot of them pre-recorded and sent in, but they still want to turn up. And it is just a remarkable, people coming in from Slovenia, from, you know, Canada, from Germany, from, you know, California, and, you know, such goodwill around the bees.
Yeah,
and
there is,
also saving the bees, and, you know, the power of the medicine, the story of the power of the medicine, which we can't get enough of. So it isn't just a scientific conference. I really encourage, you know, as I was saying about the man in Bali, who he was embarrassed that he wasn't a scientist. Oh, please, no, we want to know your story, you know?
Yeah, love
just
it.
As amazing as the story about the scientist discovering how bee venom dissolves breast cancer tumours.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, all of these stories are very enriching. There's a fantastic professor of paediatrics in Egypt who, in our first conference, gave a presentation on how since the year 2000, that's 22, 23 years, they've been treating asthma, bronchitis and pneumonia in children, nebulizing honey.
Okay.
Just honey.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, no steroids, no asthma drugs. And that was amazing to me. And we got him to do a presentation. And then last year I saw that he was talking about, and this is another extraordinary bee story, he has done work in Egypt with people using honey to treat cataracts.
Wow.
And his presentation showed that, you know, over a few months, honey in the eyes, which sounds a bit frightening, actually will clear cataracts without the need for surgery. And now I think New Zealand, maybe an Australian company, you can buy Manuka honey eye drops.
Yes.
Which I guess, the same sort of thing. And I, of course, I had to give it a try. And yes, it does burn a little bit when you put in, but only very briefly. And when you think about it, the bee products, I mean, the work that they can do to, you know, to antimicrobial, to clear the eyes, to just, I mean, it's just sort of, a lot of these things seem counterintuitive, but they're quite powerful. So
that's, yeah, amazing. And you just mentioned, obviously, you know, a lot of hospitals are now using Medihoney. So where it's got Manuka, yes, you know, high grade, high MGO Manuka honey that's going to help things, you know, those diabetic ulcers and treat
absolutely
the
well
stuff. Mm.
Well, we've had scientists at our conference from Sydney, as I was saying, who actually talked exactly about this, and they tried to trick the bees, which they can't. They tried to get the bees to be resistant to antibiotics, but the bees couldn't care less about, you know, the bugs. The bees, the honey does not become resistant to the bacteria. So that's a miracle of the bee products, that unlike the antibiotics, they continue to be powerful.
Yes, yes.
And so the scientists have tried, we'll try this, we'll try that, we'll try this, but the honey continues to do the wound repairing very cleanly and without infection. So it's remarkable and, you know, beautiful natural product. But I believe there's a lot of work being done on Australian honeys as well. I mean, the Manuka honey, of course, is, yes, Australian as well as New Zealand, but say the different jelly bush honeys and ironbark honeys. And there's research coming out about native bee, no, the native Australian, yes, native bee.
Yes.
The native bee propolis, which is very, very highly medicinal. And there's a lot of research has been done on the propolis that's come from Kangaroo Island, particularly a type of, we're talking about phytotherapy earlier, a type of sedge or like a mossy, swampy plant that they have in Kangaroo Island, enables the bees to make a type of propolis that has strong anti-cancer properties. And that's published science from Colin Duke at Sydney University years ago. So even though apiatherapy is not well known in Australia, we've done some heavy hitting in this space in our scientific community. The University of Western Australia, the UTS scientists, Sunshine Coast scientists did a huge survey of propolis in Australia last year that was presented at our conference. And they found that one type of propolis was more anti-cancer than tamoxifen, which is a breast cancer drug.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's really extraordinary things come out, you know. It's really quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. I'm going to put I've got on my computer form for membership for the Apiatherapy Australia. So it's,
yay,
it's, yeah, I'm going to, so it's, you know, $120, you know what I mean? That's cheap as chips. And I'll also make sure that listeners, you know, if you're interested in this, because we're talking, you know, science as well, you know, look, because sometimes people go, oh, it's a bit sort of being a bit of a hippie type movement, but there's science behind this. And, you know, as you mentioned before, Dr. Bridget, about the bee venom and breast cancer, it actually is, you know, stopping, halting, and reversing these cancers. So there's science behind it. So it's truly amazing. So I'm going to encourage all the listeners to jump on,
yes,
and
please,
become a member.
Please join the Australian Apiatherapy Association. We welcome everyone. You get the great T-shirt with the medicinal bee. And please come to our training in Harndorf on July 1st and 2nd. You can register for that on the Australian Apiatherapy Association website, apiatherapyaustralia.net. Please come to our conference in November. Please, if you have a bee story, let me know, because we're always looking for stories. We can get so many stories from other countries, but I find Australia the hardest because Australia doesn't know about apiatherapy.
Yes, yep.
And when you start talking to people, these stories come out, as you, I'm sure you know, Ben.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. Absolutely, truly, truly.
Yeah, no, it is. It's funny because it's, as I was saying, bee products, people think they're innocuous or they're focused on honey, or
yes,
they don't realise. The scientists from Sunshine Coast University were telling me that a lot of beekeepers don't know what propolis is. They think it's rubbish and yeah, in the hive and they want to throw it away. And they don't realise that there's sort of highly prized medicine.
Exactly.
Capable of all of these things. And the other thing is, of course, that for beekeepers, there's a lot more that they can do to create new products from the beehive that they may not have realised that are actually highly sought after, like propolis and bee pollen, royal jelly. There's just the medicinal quality of different types of honey or herbal infusions. And certainly the World Health Organization has been keen to encourage beekeepers to be aware of all of the different types of products they can make from the bees.
Exactly. That's absolutely love it. Now, that is absolutely, truly amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Bridget. That was absolutely brilliant.
Thank you so much, Ben.
That was absolutely fantastic. Maybe what we'll do, how about in the not too distant future, we'll get the listeners to do maybe some questions, do a bit of a Q&A. How would that sound?
That'd be great. Very happy to do that anytime.
Awesome. You're amazing. You keep up your good work, and I look forward to meeting you in the not-too-distant future.
Thank you again.
How amazing was that? It's absolutely, my mind is blown hearing those fantastic stories by Dr. Bridget, hearing, the bees, the natural medicine and how they're fixing, these problems where often people look for, drugs, to fix it, where the answer, most of us is in our back doorstep. So absolutely, once again, thank you so much to Dr. Bridget for her time. I was super excited to hear all about that. So now don't forget, if you want to hear someone, shoot me through a text message, 0437 077 92. Or you may want to have your say. If you want to be anonymous, just put in a text message. I don't have to put a name to it. Just say you want to be anonymous. There could be an issue, an idea, could be anything, a new product, that's out there. Don't forget, shoot me for a message, and I really appreciate you listening to all the listeners. And don't forget, until next time, take care of yourself, take care of each other, and take care of those bees. Bye for now.